Coming up this time, no-nonsense instructions from Brian Clough.
He would say, stand on that white line and don't move. And there's games where you think, if the crowd actually knew what was being said to me, they'd think, what the hell's going on? So I used to have to stand on the white line, and if I moved, he said, if you move, you're off. You're off. Just little things where your positioning is to make the pitch wider.
The unforgettable training session when the opponent was the formidable psycho himself, Stuart Pearce.
Cluffy said, I've got a left back. You can play against him. And I always remember my first training session, and he kicked the hell out of me. I just thought, who's this? I had a busted lip, I had a dead leg. And he was raw then, pure passion, and just basically just a raw left back who just kicked anything that moved. But again, being with a manager like Brian Clough, you know, he taught him a lot of things. He was a leader, he was a mentor, and he led by example.
And talking of psycho, there are funny memories of the nickname conjured up by Cluffy's captain.
He used to call me Sweet Pants.
Yes, Sweet Pants. Sweet Pants.
Yeah, PSE, I forgot about that, yeah. Hello, this is Franz Carr. You're listening to the Green Jumper podcast with Marcus Alton, highly commended in the Independent Podcast Awards. And definitely, you've got to listen to this because it's a great interview, and he's interviewed so many different players in the past, and he knows his history.
Marcus, good afternoon to you. It's not a very good afternoon, actually. It's pouring down, but it's nice to see you. I've got my grandchildren. I've got holidays. I've got your lovely smiling face to look at on a Saturday. God forbid.
Hello. It's Simon Clough here. This is the Green Jumper podcast with Marcus Alton.
And my guest today was signed by Brian Clough when he was just 17 years old and became an integral part of the successful trophy-winning teams that Cloughy built in the late 1980s and early 90s. He was a high-speed winger who was so fast that Cloughy once said he'd run him as a greyhound if he ever considered a change of career. It's hello to Franz Carr.
Thank you, Marcus, for inviting me on. It's a pleasure to get on your show. I've heard a few bits and pieces in the past, and it's a very good show that you've got.
Thanks very much. It's lovely to see you. And, of course, it was back in 1985 when Brian Clough came out with that greyhound quote. He also said about you, his speed frightens defenders. He played against Sheffield Wednesday reserves and scared them stiff because he made mincemeat of their offside trap. It must have been great to get that type of praise from Brian Clough.
Yeah, I think, like I said, when I signed, there was three players on the same day, Johnny Metcott and Gary Megson. And obviously I was part of the side, the European Cup side with John Robertson, Ian Boyer, even Paul Hart and people like that who had been at the club for a long time. So with me coming into the side, it was like a dream come true. You know, I signed from Blackburn Rovers. But the funny thing is with that story that I'd been to Forest on trial as a youngster, and I'd been to Liverpool, I'd been to Man United, and Forest was always a team what would attracted me. And obviously with Brian being a manager, giving young players a chance, I just thought if I did well, I was at Blackburn Rovers at the time, I thought if I did well at Blackburn Rovers, my first choice would be Nottingham Forest. And that came pretty quick within the space of about within a year.
You mentioned the other signings Cloughy made at that time, and I read that he was so pleased, he showed how pleased he was to your dad.
Yeah, I mean, that's a long story because, like I said, my dad at that time was my sort of agent advisor, so he was the one who basically ran things at that time. But it was just, as a young player, you just want to play, you enjoy yourself, and it's all about football. It's not about the other side. You get to know about that as you get older, but no, it was a privilege and an honour to play for Forest at that time.
I read that he gave your dad a kiss. Is that right?
I think he gives everybody a kiss. Oh, you've got to give him a kiss. I mean, that's where he was a Jekyll and Hyde. You got the best of him, and sometimes you got the wrath of him. But overall, it was very eccentric. Great man manager, knew the players inside out, and he simplified the game.
How did you cope with that larger than life extrovert that was Cluffy?
I think all the players who played for him, especially at that time, you wanted to please him. So I think it was more about listening to his instructions. We all got taught manners, respect. You know, anything you can think of, which was small details, Cluffy had that off to a T. It's only when you get older you realise that he installed all the ingredients for what we are today. All the players I mean, Marcus, you've met them all, and you'll see that the players from our era are all respectful, good guys, and that's all down to Cluffy.
Yes, and just saying please and thank you and all that sort of thing comes through whenever I meet the former players. And you made your debut in October 85 at Aston Villa for Forest. You'd spent a while in the reserves. Did Brian give you any warning that you were going to play in the first team?
He never did with anybody. I think it was quite a shock. I think anybody who makes a debut at Forest, you just get thrown in the deep end and you've got to cope with it. But he knew at the time when to put players in, when to take them out. He was just a genius at that. And getting to know the players individually, you know, the way they are, how they react. So, you know, I think when they talk about psychologists these days, he was a mixture of all them things, psychologist, mentor, you know, sort of like playing on the edge. And having a blend of football, which was simplified. He made it simple. And when I was on the wing, Cluffy used to be next to the dugout, and he would say, stand on that white line and don't move. And there's games where you think, if the crowd actually knew what was being said to me, they'd think, what the hell's going on? So I used to have to stand on the white line, and if I moved, he said, if you move, you're off. You're off. And I'd stand there. He said, don't worry, I'll get the ball to you, and stuff like that, and things like that. Just little things where your positioning is to make the pitch wider. And he said, if they can't see you, he said, my job is to get them to get you the ball. Just basic, simple things. But there's times in games where I had to stand there and I'd be there for a minute or so, and he said, if you move, you're off. Just certain things which will stick in your mind. Brilliant times.
Fantastic. Yeah. And I've got an old cutting here from October 85, 2 weeks after your league debut. You scored the winner in a Milk Cup third round 2-1 win at Derby. The headline here, glory return for Cluffy, and underneath, ace Franz clinches Forest winner. Winning at Derby at that time, it must have been special when Brian returned to his old club.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, when you're young, you don't really realise what Brian had done in his career as a player and as a manager. And obviously going back to Derby, which are our fierce rivals, as a player, you just get out there and play. The more games you play, you realise how important the games are, what your input is in the side. Because when you're young, you play with no fear. So you just get on with it, you try and do your best and beat the fullbacks, get your crosses in, score goals. So at that time, I mean that's fantastic, that is what you've got there, because I can't even remember half of these things. But I mean, no, going back to Derby, especially with it being a special time for Cluffy at the old baseball ground, was a great night for the club, and obviously for me personally.
And your home league debut was a 3-2 win against Arsenal. Some great newspaper headlines again there. Another one, Carr is Forest driving force, Forest 3, Arsenal 2. And it says you even overshadowed the hat-trick hero, Peter Davenport. Can you remember that?
It was a Chelsea game. I know it was a Chelsea game, but if this is another one, that's not bad. But I know we beat Chelsea at Stamford Bridge many years ago, and I think Gary Birtle's got a hat-trick. And I think it's Neil Wedd got the hat-trick. And I got a man of the match.
Ah.
So,
yes.
I mean, if there's another one there, that's another one. That's quite good there.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it says, this report says, Franz Carr had the ground buzzing from start to finish. The reporter had not heard such an exciting atmosphere about a player since the days of Duncan McKenzie, which is quite an accolade, really. And you gave England left-back Kenny Sansom a torrid 90 minutes.
Yes, I always remember the two games. Obviously, the other fullback at Aston Villa was Tony Dorigo, yes. And Steve Hodge played for Aston Villa at that time. Obviously, I played with him before. And obviously with Kenny Sampson at Arsenal, which was the night before, you just think, you know, just get on with it. You're playing against England left-back. And then we've got our own, you know, left-back with Stuart. And we played a lot of togetherness at Forest. And obviously, everybody knows about Stuart. He was a leader, he was a mentor, and he led by example. So playing against Arsenal and playing against England left back, you want to do well against him anyway, just for the team, for the colleagues, and obviously Stuart as well, because he went on to achieve so many accolades.
Did you ever play against him in like training matches? Because that must have been quite a test.
I remember the first time Stuart came, he came in with Ian Butterworth, they signed, and Cluffy said, I've got a left back, we've just bought a left back. you can play against him. And I always remember my first training session, and he kicked the hell out of me. I just thought, who's this? I had a busted lip, I had a dead leg. And he was raw then, pure passion. And just basically, just a raw left back who just kicked anything that moved. But again, being with a manager like Brian Clough, you know, he taught him a lot of things. And obviously, like I said, Stuart, with that personality and that drive, that got him through to be the person he is today.
Talking about being clattered, in that Arsenal match we were talking about, I found a cutting where Brian Clough praises your bravery. Franz Fearless is the headline here. And it says that you showed real character by continuing in that game, even though a challenge had split your shin pad, incredibly. He said you could have come off at half time, but you continued. And for me, that showed real character. That must have impressed him.
Definitely. I mean, that's the first time I've heard that as well. So, I mean, your research is unbelievable. because some of these cuttings I've not seen before. So it is pleasing and it's nice to hear from a manager, especially, you know, in the heights of Brian, to give you them sort of tributes. But them days, like I said, I think he threw young players in to see what the resolve was like, see if they could cope with the pressure. But sometimes you think you'd be playing every week and he'd take you out. So it was that sort of unpredictability of, you know, were you going to play every week or was he going to drop you? So he kept you on your toes.
And he didn't like you doing after-match interviews, I don't think. And that was not just you, but several players. And there was an occasion, I understand, when Match of the Day wanted to interview after a game. He said no. And a plan was drawn up to tackle that. What happened?
Yeah, it was a game, I think it was a cup game against QPR, and we won the game, and obviously they asked for certain players to come out and do an interview, and at that time they asked for me. It was John Watson on a Match of the Day, asked for me to come out, and Cluffy said, there's no way you're going out, Franz. They might want you, but you're staying here. So I just thought, okay, just get on with it. But there's a young apprentice, a young black lad called Sean Brown, similar size to me. Clovey said, listen, young Brownie, you can go and do his interview for him. So he said, get yourself a towel, throw some water on you, and then get out there and do Franz's interview. So, you know, you're sort of thinking, what the hell's going on here? So he goes into the bathroom, throws the water on his face, got a towel around his thing, and does the interview with John Watson. And then 5-10 minutes later, he's come back in. He said, did you do it, the interview? He said, yes, boss. He said, how did it go? I said, I thought it went well. So as soon as he came back in, Brian said, listen, Franz, you owe Sean £50 for doing your job. So, I mean, he was that type of character, just thinking, 50 quid, I've not done anything. And John Motson, yeah. I remember at the time, John Motson said they knew it wasn't me, but it actually got played out on Match of the Day.
Oh.
So, there's so many stories with Cluffy. I mean, Mark Crossy tells him, the other lads tell him, Des is starting to tell him, and anybody who's played under him, there's so many stories which were great stories.
Yeah, great memories.
Yeah.
Now, you were a headline writer's dream, I have to say, looking through the archives. We've got things like a car who can't be caught when speeding. He's compulsive viewing. Car in fast lane. And Franz-tastic, where you were even compared to the legends Stanley Matthews and Tom Finney going down the wing. And along with all this media attention, there was publicity opportunities for the match day programme. And if we go back to December 1988, I think it was, I've got a picture here. A ballet company, London Ballet Company, was visiting Nottingham, and three ballerinas visited the city ground. And there's a picture of you here, which I'll put on the website, carrying on your shoulders the three ballerinas, you carrying one, then there's Gary Crosby and Steve Hodge. It looks quite precarious.
Yeah, no, like them times, because there's so many different people coming in from different backgrounds. I mean, like I said, Brian was one of them people who was, he would even invite anybody, even somebody off the street. If he liked them, he'd bring him in for a cup of tea. I mean, I remember there's two lads who came from Sunderland. They live with him, Craig, and I can't remember the other guy. There's two of them.
Yes.
So he was like that. And when they, I always remember that picture, because I remember one of the guys, I think one of the guys who's the Russian ballet.
Yes.
They wanted to have a race against one of the lads. I remember doing like a 50-yard sprint. It wasn't me. I think it might have been Gary Crosby. And they realised that ballet and football are two different things completely. But great experience.
But your footwork was pretty comparable, I would say.
At the time, I mean, like I said, you was on a roller coaster. You know, when I played in them days, there's a lot of things what went on. I mean, even with, you know, I played in Pat Jennings' testimonial with George Best and Leon Brady. I was a young kid then, not realising that you were playing with royalty in football. And moments like that, everybody used to tell me, one person used to tell me, Ian Boyer, he used to always say, listen, friends, when you play and you play in finals or important games, always remember them because they soon get forgotten. And that's always stuck in my mind later on because you do forget these moments. Like you're speaking to me now, some of these antidotes and things what you've got, I'm thinking, oh, God, I can't remember that, but good days.
Yeah, and of course, you were an integral part of the League Cup, Littlewoods Cup winning sides, 89 and 90. Yeah. There's a picture here of you in the team, team photo, on the front row alongside Stuart Pearce, Des Walker, Nigel Clough, Gary Crosby sitting next to you and Cluffy just behind. Yeah. What comes to your mind when you see that now?
Just a great bunch of players, great bunch of lads, a lot of togetherness. We're all friends. I mean, you've got, like, say, Gary Fleming on the back, Gary Parker. Yeah. I mean, all the players went on to achieve, you know, massive things in the game. I mean, just, obviously, sitting next to Stuart, you've got Darren Wassell there, you know, who's, I think he's head of the EFL now, leagues. So, like I said, there's a lot of good memories there on that picture.
And I've got a player profile from another match day programme here, with you sitting in probably a new car, because you like your cars, didn't you?
Yeah, but that was a sponsored car, and I think it was a Nissan. And the thing is, with that car, what I had there, everybody had the same car. So you can imagine, when you drove in, if you didn't know where you'd park your car, you just had to try and press the button to see where you were, because some lads got lost with the cars. They're all the same cars. Yeah. But I think back in the day, when you're young and things are going well, and I think, with, you know, people used to say I was a speed merchant or whatever, then you'd have a car fitting for that. But they were good days.
Well, there's a player profile here, and it sort of asks you favourite player, hobbies, favourite newspaper. I wonder if I could just test you with a couple of questions to see if you remember. I mean, this is going back to October 87, it says. And it says, let's see, favourite ground. What would that have been?
Did I say Anfield? Did I say Liverpool?
You said Anfield, correct. Yeah. Favourite player?
There was a lot at that time, but I would say winger-wise, it might have been either Glenn Hoddle or Steve Coppell.
You were right first time. Mm. Glenn Hoddle. Yeah. Excellent. Mm. Favourite other sportsman?
Daley Thompson at the time. He was the man. Did the decathlon. He won everything. And probably Daley Thompson.
Excellent. That is really good. Because some of the players I've asked can't quite remember. It is a long time ago. Now, an interesting one. Nickname. And there are actually three that are broadcastable.
I'm going to say, if they're from Cluffy, there's a few X-rated things. Yeah. I think that one of them would be Shy Man.
Yes.
And that's because I wasn't shy. That's why they called me Shy Man. It's completely opposite. Because I think Liam O'Kane and Ronnie Fenton used to say, they used to call me Shy Man sometimes, and they didn't realise what it was for, because I would always be, not opinionated, but I wasn't shy. Because when you're small as a player and you've got a lot of the other guys who are big and tall, you have to probably do more work because you can get knocked around. Yeah. And I think you had to have a bit of a presence, you know, weights and things like that. I had to do a lot of that because you just get, you know, obliterated by other players.
And the other two were from Stuart Pearce, two nicknames. Can you remember?
Pearce. No. Yeah, I'm trying to think. I think he used to call me Sweet Pants.
Yes, Sweet Pants. Sweet Pants.
Yeah, Pearce. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, Pearce is Sweet Pants. Yeah, I think, I don't know. I think it was more to do with, because Cluffy used to always be saying, oh, Franzy, give the ball to Franzy and all this type of stuff. So I was very popular at the time. And to be fair to Cluffy, he was really good to me. So I can't really complain about the way my career went at that time, because everything was going well.
Yeah, yeah. And the other one was Marigold.
I have no idea where that one comes from.
No. But maybe you did the washing up in your Marigold or something. Anyway, yeah, some good memories from 87 there. You were on the transfer list for a short while, and there was a bit of a ding-dong between Clough and your dad in the newspapers over signing a new contract. Was that difficult, sort of being in the middle of it all?
Yeah, it was difficult. It was a difficult time for me because there was a lot going on. I mean, I don't know, a lot of people don't realise that I actually went to speak to Real Madrid during that time, because Johnny Metcott was a former player there, and I had talks with Real Madrid. I went over there for a day and went round the club, saw the Butragueño was the director of football, showed me around the stadium, around the ground, and there was an opportunity to sign. But because I was doing so well at Forest, and obviously with the team and with Brian Clough, I didn't want to go. But I don't know if that was Clough, he was, because like I say about psychology, he's thrown that in at the time to probably think, you know, you're missing something, because I don't think I was ready to go there anyway. So I think it, just the way he knew about certain players, I think he threw that in there to have a look at it, and it frightened me to death, because it, even though it was a massive club, seeing everything, I wasn't ready for that at 18, 19.
Right.
And I think players have talked about contracts in the past, like Mark Crossley signing agreements. And at that time, I think he wanted me to take control of my own life rather than my family. Looking back on it now, is to say it's your decision. It's not a family's decision. You've got to make that decision. And I left a lot of that negotiation to my father, which, when you talk about regrets, it's not regrets. It's just one of them things you go through. Mm. And it was a difficult time for me. A lot of things were happening. I had a couple of hamstring injuries, and all I wanted to do was get back on the pitch and play, which I probably should have took myself out a lot longer to recover and then come back, back on the same sort of level of playing.
Yes, yeah. You did, after all the success, you did eventually leave and went to Newcastle in 1991. Mm-hmm. I understand Ozzy Ardiles was the manager, and you thought it was a prank when he phoned you.
Oh, yeah, that was going back at that time, because you know when your time's done at Forest. I think they just played in the cup final. Mm-hmm. And Ronnie Fenton had obviously give Ozzy my number, and he called it. And the first time he called it, I thought it was one of the lads who was taking the mickey. And Ozzy's rang up, "Oh, can I speak to Franz?" And I'm thinking, "Who's this?" And I said, I put the phone down. And then a couple of hours later, Ronnie said, "Oh, Ozzy Ardiles has been trying to get hold of you." He rang again. And I think it's twice it happened. And then the third time, I had to apologise. So Ozzy said, "I didn't realise. I thought it was one of the lads taking the mickey." But Ozzy understood that and realised. We had a good laugh about that. But it was a strange day and a strange thing for me, being at Forest for so long and then going to Newcastle. It was I was sad to go, but at the same time, it was a new chapter, going to play for Newcastle with Ozzy.
Yes. I think you saw Cluffy in his retirement, and is it fair to say that maybe he slightly regretted having sold you?
Yes, it's in his book. Apparently he's put in his book that he probably should have kept me, which was nice. But I saw him not long before he died. I've not been back to the City Ground for a long time. And I saw him, and obviously he gave us a kiss, Franzi, and I gave him a kiss. And he said, "You must come and see me," because he's in retirement. But previously to that, I'd been back to the City Ground twice with two different clubs. And when you're coming back to a stadium which you're familiar with, the crowd and stuff, it was strange. I came back with Sheffield United and I came back with Aston Villa. And when I came back with Sheffield United, that was Cluffy's final game. We beat them 3-1. And that was his last game. And I always felt, sorry. And in the gut, I was thinking, God, you know, this man is bigger than Forest. He is Nottingham Forest. And it was a shame that we sent him down on that day. And then he left the club. Then after that, I played for Aston Villa in a quarter final of the FA Cup, and I ended up scoring the winner against Mark Crossley. So there's two times I've been back, which has been sad in a way, but because of the clubs you're playing for, it's been satisfying for them. So I've been back twice as a player, and not been good for Forest, been good for me personally, but it's a bit heart-wrenching, really.
Yes, yeah, I can imagine that must be difficult. And another emotional day that I will mention that you were part of, it was the unveiling of the statue of Cluffy in Nottingham. And I set up the campaign to get the statue and the fundraising committee, and we commissioned it. And it was fantastic to see you there on the day. And there's a picture here I'm showing you of all the former players who turned up. You're alongside John McGovern there and Kenny Burns, Viv Anderson, Archie Gemmell just behind you, and Gary Birtles. Yeah. That really was a special day, wasn't it?
It was a special day, and some of them players I played with, you know, they're European Cup winning side. I mean, when you think about trophies, what you actually win and over your career and what they did, they were a prime example of what you wanted to be and what you wanted to do for the club. Because, I mean, you look at John there on the front, John, you know, lifting two European Cups. I mean, you're lucky if you've got a handful of people who've done that. So that's a massive achievement in itself. But it was a great day and a great fitting tribute to Brian.
Well, Franz Carr, thanks ever so much for your time today. It's been fantastic reminiscing with you. And just before you go, I understand a certain Sean Deitch was your apprentice at Forest.
Yes, Deitch was. I mean, he was a great lad. I mean, most of the lads who are apprentices do the jobs. But at the time when Sean was here, there were so many talented players. He had a setback with injuries. Steve Stone was here at the same time. They were obviously close mates, and Ian Wone. And Stoney broke his leg three times. And Daichi will always say to me, he always remembers me and my cars and the shiny shoes and stuff like that. But I mean, to watch his career blossom as a manager and being in the Premier League, for him to be back here now, it's like a coming home. And there's a feel-good factor. I just hope he gets the opportunity to implement his style. He's got the players, which he's never had before. So if the Forest fans give him time and persevere with him, I think it's a good fit.
Well, once again, Franz, thanks ever so much for your time and sharing your stories today for the Green Jumper and reminiscing. And you'll always play a special part in Cluffy's history at Forest. Thanks again.
Oh, it's been a pleasure, Marcus. Like I said, it's all these stories coming out now. And like I said, it's just reminiscing about certain things because a lot of these things are locked away. And someone like yourself interviewing me is just bringing back memories, and I'm going to try and get some of these cuttings from you because I've never seen them before. but listen, it's been a pleasure.
Thanks very much. And you can see some of the archive cuttings that we talked about on the Tribute website, brianclough.com. Just click on the podcast page and follow the links. The website has lots more Cluffy stories, and you'll also find the Clough shop, where you can get copies of my Brian Clough books, which I'll sign personally for you as well. They're supporting good causes, and there's 15% off for Green Jumper listeners on Brian Clough The Lost Tapes. Just use the code GREEN15 at checkout. That's GREEN15. Thanks for listening, and I hope you can join me next time for more memories of the great man in the green jumper.